Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. And one thing that may have flown under your radar as this week begins, today begins Banned Books Week. This week was started by the Banned Books Coalition in 1982 as an annual celebration of the freedom to read. Now, the American Library Association has released its annual list of the most challenged books. And at the top of the list in 2016 was This One Summer. It's a coming-of-age story about two preteen kids. But the book was more than challenged. This graphic novel was banned by school districts in Minnesota and Florida, even after being highly honored in children's literature.
I think once it won those awards, people automatically thought picture book or appropriate for children, when in reality, the Caldecott honor is awarded to books for kids up to 14.
That's Jillian Tamaki, one of the co-authors of This One Summer. The book's critical acclaim may have led it into the hands of some unprepared younger readers, but it also came under scrutiny for exploring the struggles that kids endure when they deal with drugs or sex, or if they're asked to grow up before they're ready. Mariko Tamaki and Jillian Tamaki are cousins. They're the co-creators of This One Summer. So today, to mark the 35th annual Banned Books Week in America, we invited them on to talk about why having your book challenged and banned on such a wide scale isn't quite as exciting as you might think.
It's the weird juxtaposition where you will say, you know, this is the most banned book of last year, and people will automatically say congratulations or they'll cheer. I get that. But in reality, it is quite depressing when you think about it. And the reality is, under most challenges, the ALA is not notified. They are just taken off the shelf. I read a thing where for every one challenge that's reported, there are 3, 4, 5 instances where the book is just pulled.
The other side of this is that there are lots of cases in libraries where a librarian could go and see that a book has been placed in, say, the elementary school section or like a young reader section and just move it to the teen section. So there's lots of cases where it's just a matter of moving the book and librarians just manage that. Also, it's worth noting that every time that there's a challenge, so every time someone comes up to a librarian and says, I don't think this book should be on the shelves, librarian can give them a form that says, okay, you fill out a specific form. That doesn't necessarily mean the book is removed. And a lot of the times, librarians can sort of sit down and say, well, let's do some more research about this book, and does this complaint merit removing the book? It doesn't always get removed.
Well, what was in your book that parents found so objectionable?
It's profanity, drug use, which I assume is smoking, and then LGBTQ characters. And this is the interesting one to me, is sexually explicit themes, which I don't even know where that comes from. Sex exists in the book, but it's certainly not explicit.
Right. The point of the book was to look at the experience of a younger person. I mean, it's not to put a younger person in an inappropriate, like, older person thing. Like, it's always hilarious to me, like, The Hunger Games is a book about a teenage girl or a bunch of teenagers who are forced into an arena to kill each other until only one is left. So that somehow isn't, like, an inappropriate for young person experience. But two young girls sitting on a couch and trying to figure out what oral sex is, and they don't know. Like, it doesn't explicitly describe the thing because the two kids don't know. I tried to keep it, you know, whatever they're talking about is still appropriate for the kid's age. It's just that they're talking about adult things, but in a very kid way.
It seems to me that what you're describing is something that happens to kids all the time. It's part of growing up, hearing adults or older kids talking about things that you don't understand that might make you uncomfortable, or that you know adults do but aren't for you, and trying to process what that means.
I mean, the book is completely about that liminal space, and they're overhearing teenagers talk about sex, and it's supposed to be scary because that stuff is scary to you when you're a younger kid, and it's supposed to be capturing that sense of fear a little bit or unknown.
There are situations in your book as well where kids are renting R-rated slasher films, you know, having nightmares about going into sort of that older teen space and not really liking what they see.
Yeah, which I always thought, I mean, to me, there was like that point in life where slumber parties went from watching The Secret of NIMH, and I felt too quickly, you know, descended into Nightmare on Elm Street.
It's like a very messy, clunky scary transition. One does not go from being a quote-unquote complete innocent to a fully mature, rounded, balanced person, adult.
Let's be fair to some of these parents. If your book was in elementary schools when it should have been in middle schools, or 9-year-olds were accessing it when they should have been 14-year-olds, do you have some sympathy? Do you think your book was necessarily appropriate for every kid that picked it up?
I mean, like, there's two things. One is the book is in the wrong place and it should be moved to a place for the appropriate readers. And the other is just the sort of blanket notion that a book is inappropriate because it contains things that make a person uncomfortable. And that's the thing that was frustrating, especially like when you think of a book being removed, some of the libraries we're talking about are high school libraries. So the perfect place for a kid to read something that they find uncomfortable or that they find challenging is a high school, because they're surrounded by people who are there to talk to you about the things that you don't understand. And the idea that instead what you do is remove a book so that you just avoid the conversation altogether is really frustrating.
As we're talking about challenges and banning, I think it's important to make that distinction. A challenge is an opening of a conversation. Most of the time, that conversation is opened and you discuss the merits, and most times it does stay on the shelf. Maybe it gets recategorized. That can be seen as a very healthy process as opposed to banning, which is removal.
Well, Mariko, Jillian, This One Summer was banned in some schools and some high schools, and it makes me want to turn around and ask you, would you read part of it on our air, please?
Sure. This is from This One Summer. I know a little about sex. When I was in second grade, my teacher, Mrs. Sloan, got pregnant, so we had a class about where babies come from. My dad said there should be a class where they put us in a cage until we're 20. Last year in health, we took this quiz, and we had to show it to our parents so they could see what we knew about sex. My dad thought it was funny I spelled penis wrong. I wonder if they teach sex education here. I wonder if that guy Dunk knows. I'm sure he does.
The book is This One Summer. There are a few high schools and libraries around America where you will not find that book because it was censored and banned, but you will hear it here on The Takeaway, and you'll also hear the authors, Mariko and Jillian Tamaki. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.